It's 8 o'clock. Wheelbarrow full of dicks begins right fucking now.
I mean, Ant-Man and Wasp would have to be fucking Avatar for us to come back in this thing. So, hope you guys enjoyed it. Mike, you got your way, you filthy fucking vermin. You win. Okay, we're out of your fucking game. Have random ramblings with Rob. Have, you know, Benny on. Have Matt. Have all your buddies. Have Dan. If Dan ever deigns grace you with his presence, good Lord knows we can't get him.
So all that pre-show stuff, that's in the past.
Yeah, we got a real full house here this week.
We're not gonna that's not gonna carry over into the show at all.
We worked it out, Travis.
Yep. Everything's fine now. We're guys, if it was a whole big conflict and like we just started arguing right off the bat, that wouldn't be a good show.
Nobody wants that, do they?
Be an old episode of the Lotus Cast.
Guys, hi, it's WFOD. I'm Mike. Travis is here.
It's me.
We have our friend Matt joining us from the Lotus Cast. Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Hi, Matt. And Jim is already putting his hands up. Jim, I was going to give you, like, see, it's not special to, I don't like that I can, Jim, turn your fucking, I'm going to be watching you the whole time, gauging your reaction to things. Turn your fucking video off. I don't want to see it.
Oh, I want to see it.
Okay. I'm getting rid of it because I'll just watch that the whole time. Guys, Jim Chadman from the Not Safe for Water Coolers program. I heard Monday nights here on StrangeLabel.com.
Hooray!
You heard Fourth Jim Chadman there
of Wheelbarrow Full Dicks
in the intro. You know, Jim Chadman, every goddamn week, he just rips on me. Every week, Travis.
I feel like I heard the clip that you played there, Mike, and I feel like that was taken out of context. You had to have heard the rest of the show to understand my meaning. That's a little bit of fake newsery there.
Well, see, Jim, I would tell people where to go to hear your show, but you have a Tumblr page for a website, and your Tumblr page has, like, adult filters on to where you have to sign up for a Tumblr account and remember how to get into your Tumblr account to view your podcast. When you go to notsafeforwatercoolers.tumblr.com, you get a thing coming up that says, guys, you can't see it.
You could always subscribe on iTunes like I do.
You don't.
Yeah,
I just don't update it.
I guess I'm a specific kind of podcast listener where I don't ever go to podcast websites. I don't ever read the descriptions. I say, this is a show I listen to, and then I play it when it comes on. So I don't put that much thought.
So you market your podcast to people who specifically listen to podcasts the same way you do.
And I actually market it to people who already listen to my podcast. So nobody else. Yeah. If you've already heard it, great. Otherwise, you don't have to worry.
I mean, that's Jim's brand. Like, he has a different way of marketing his podcast than everybody else.
Yeah, it's like those speakeasies, you know? You gotta go in a cellar, knock twice, gotta know the secret password. I don't want this entry, you know, it's not entry for everyone into my podcast.
You like what you like, and people just need to follow suit, or they can take a hike.
Jim strictly makes his show for you, Mike.
They can listen live on Strange Label.
He makes his show.
Is this a warning shot, Mike? Are you threatening to throw us off the network?
No, Jim, don't throw people off the network.
Just is this your master plan? Is that why I'm on this week? Is this a difficult conversation we're going to have?
No, Mike will just let a show fizzle out and tell him, hey, we're not doing a show anymore before he takes him off. He'll let any shit show just keep rolling from week to week. just let him fizzle out.
No, see, the thing is like I don't really care what's on the network. Like... Okay. Like, I mean, if there was a show on a night and they were doing a show and it didn't really bother me and I didn't have anything to put in its place, what do I give a shit if it's there? You know, I have a place to do my show, and that's fine with me. If you guys want to recruit other shows, have at it. I don't care. I just want to do my thing.
If you start plugging shows into every nook and cranny of the network, you're going to have less time to play that amazing Great Balls of Fire rockabilly guy song.
Travis, you didn't like the Balls of Fire rockabilly guy? I've liked his music. I thought it was good.
He
put out an album. I never listened to the album. I just listened to that one song, and I liked that one song. And then Matt talked me out of liking the one song I liked.
That was a bad song, Mike. That was a really bad song.
Everybody kept saying the song was bad, but I thought it was good. And so, I mean, I probably shouldn't be the guy who looks at the music, because I think I like music that people don't like.
No, I feel like everybody has, you know, different strokes for different folks. And just like Jim does with his podcast, you do with the music you enjoy.
And, Matt called me earlier. We were having a pleasant conversation. And and I said, hey, Matt, you want to just jump on later with the boys? And Matt said, I'd love to jump on later with the boys. And here we are.
How long ago was this?
I mean, it was
2, 3, 4 hours ago.
Probably
about 7 o'clock.
5:30, 6 o'clock, somewhere in there.
Okay, your time.
So it was a late call, Travis. I wasn't purposely deceiving you.
Well, all right.
On a related note, Matt, I'm glad to have the Lotus Cast back. I'm really enjoying the resurgence of the show.
Oh, thanks, Jim. I really appreciate that, buddy.
You still do a 3-hour show?
No. No, we struggle for an hour.
You should have Mike surprise book guests on your show so the people you don't know are going to be there. You'll have plenty to talk about.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Are we missing a co-host on the Lotus Cast?
Yeah. There's
that hasn't been addressed.
It's been addressed. We talked about it.
I mean, it's not like a surprise booking. It's Matt, you know? I mean, Matt's on all the time.
There's a couple different areas of conflict here. I think that Mike has been planning surprising me on the show for a while. Mike does this weird thing, right, where he will message me on different areas of social media, right? So sometimes I get a Facebook message from him. Sometimes I get an Instagram message from him. Sometimes I get a plain old text. The other day, he privately Snapchatted me. Not one of the just regular Snapchats. Like, he just directly messaged me on Snapchat that said, "Are you at work?"
And your response was?
I didn't call him that night, but then I was like, oh, I need to respond to Mike. So I called him on my way home from work, and I feel like Mike somehow manipulated me into calling him tonight on my way home so that he could invite me on the show.
I didn't talk to you at all today, did I? Until you called.
No, I think maybe it was Monday that you messaged me. I don't know. You messaged me on Snapchat and asked me if I was at work, and I said I am, and then there was no response.
I was just curious if you were at work or not.
What? And
that's not all.
Matt,
I asked you if you were happy. And you replied to "Are you happy?" with "Are you happy?"
Oh, and I think that was a text, wasn't it?
Which isn't a real answer, Matt. I never really got the response that I was looking for. I just wanted to know, you know, if you were happy or not. Obviously, Travis isn't happy.
Do you ever have it where he messages you, he'll message you on Twitter and Facebook within 2 minutes of each other, and you're not sure how you're supposed to respond?
Guys, when I check my phone, I'm checking all the things. I have notifications on all the different platforms, and then whatever one I'm by is the one that I use to communicate my message.
Whatever one you're by, they're all on your phone.
Well, what I'm in at the time, Travis.
Jim, you got to get in on this messaging stuff. There's a lot of it.
Mike asked me on the show in a group Facebook Messenger message. It wasn't even a private Facebook Messenger message.
It was the first one that I found, Jim. I looked down the list, and the first one I saw you were in, I invited you.
Well, it's quite frankly, it's none of everyone else's business.
Well, and Matt Leroy was in there too, and so I thought that, like, you know, maybe he would be interested to know that I was inviting you on, you know, because like
you
your,
have a,
your co-host
a Facebook message group that contains Jim Chadman and Leroy.
You're in it too.
I'm not in that.
I think Travis is in
there. I'm in it. Somebody else is in it too. There's more than just the couple. Maybe Dan is in there.
Mike is like that guy from the fucking Game of Thrones where he's got his little birds everywhere and is just webbed super deep.
Oh, it totally is. Just shit is constantly in motion. He's got everybody's a fucking chess piece to him. He's just moving around the board, just waiting to strike.
Is that what you guys think of me? That I'm some kind of maniac? I'm just trying to talk to my pals. I'm just trying to talk to the boys.
Like a puppet master. I feel like I'm in that NSYNC video where they got to cut the strings so they can dance correctly.
I'm not this person, guys.
It's Strange Label High School, and you're the goddamn big bully.
And that's the thing, Jim. You and your bullshit. You get in my head is what you do. You talk on your show about how I'm in the Illuminati because I'm trying to kick you out of the Hollywood Fantasy League. Your guy's the one who picked shitty movies, Jim. I didn't pick your movies. And I don't think you're going to lose. It's going to be really, really close, Jim. It's going
to
be really close.
Well, Equalizer 2 did better than they thought it was going to do.
Yeah, the Equalizer 2, you know, it has a really bad Metacritic, but it'll probably score like what? It has 18 now. It'll probably have like 25. It probably won't do much. Mission Impossible, though, I mean, like the last one scored 81 points. That's going to be right on the cusp, Jim. The new Mission Impossible has to do worse than the last one for you to be okay.
I've been reading pretty good reviews about that.
Sick of Mission Impossible, Matt. I'm sick of Tom Cruise doing his own stunts.
How can you be sick of Mission Impossible and Tom Cruise in those movies? The guy is phenomenal.
I'm sick of it.
They don't stand out at all, but it's kind of like those.
I couldn't tell you. You're right, Travis. I couldn't tell you which movie is which, except for maybe the first one.
Say like the plot. Oh, it was the one that he was hanging from the airplane.
I think yeah. I know the second one because Zoe Saldana, I think, was in that one. But they're a lot like they're like the Bourne movies.
The Zoe Saldana one was the one the Metallica song.
Yeah, the Metallica song is the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that James Woo Philip Seymour that. Hoffman was in 3 or 4.
Does that Metallica song have the wow, wow, wow thing that Richie Sambora does?
Mm-mm, I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about? When he puts the hose in his mouth?
Yeah, I know. I know the effect. I don't know if that song has
it. I don't know it. Can you do it one more time?
Yeah, the wow, wow, wow. Hold on. I'm going to pull up some guitar. Sometimes I drive around in my car and do that.
So Metallica
is... A couple more times.
Metallica's
I love
going
to Does it work when I hear it in my head, but I don't know if you guys hear it. You hear it?
Yeah.
I'm sticking my phone in my mouth and doing it. I do that for hours in my car sometimes, guys. I just do it for hours. Just drive around and then I stick my phone in my mouth and I Richie Sambora.
I don't know how you'd have time for that when you're having all these conversations with all the cool kids at Strange Label on your phone.
Yeah, I plot against every other person. I create a binder on all of you.
I don't think it's every other person, Mike.
Oh, you think it's just specifically you?
Specifically me.
Now, Jim, I don't want you to be out of the game.
Well, we're going to be.
Yeah, you guys That's are fine. Going on break for like 2 months, right?
No, we're coming back like next week. It's over.
Oh,
seriously, man, do you hear him every week with his Mike's trying to kick us out of the game. Mike is trying to kick us off Strange Label. Mike is in
look,
the
it's,
Illuminati.
It's well documented. I'm not safe for water coolers. I think my case holds water.
It's silly.
What does Shannon think of all
thing?
This?
I know Shannon's pretty disengaged when I start talking about Mike and. The Hollywood Fantasy League.
Or pop culture or anything really other than herself.
Except Matt. She still doesn't like Matt.
Well, and
conflict. Don't like
your last co-host, he quit because he didn't like Shannon, didn't he?
No, that's not true.
Oh, come on. It's totally true, isn't it?
He quit because he didn't want to do it anymore. He lost interest.
Oh, I thought because he didn't like Shannon.
Do you want to compare records for co-hosts that quit shows? You want to start stacking those up? I think you brought me on just in the hopes I would scream the N-word out at random times during the show.
Do you want to get into that? Because that's what me and Matt were talking about. You know, when I suggested to Matt that he come on and talk to the boys. We were talking about the Sacha Baron Cohen program. Drunk. Jim Chadman and Matt from the Lotus Cast are both here. I'm sorry I didn't tell you.
So looks like you got a full crew tonight, so I guess I can clock in and clock out. And By the way, you are Lord Varys, the master of the whispers.
What does that mean?
You're the master of whispers.
Oh, so you were listening in your car and planning up all your lines?
No, but I mean, I heard it. And
Get some old dings in on mic. I don't want to be the only ones not getting dings in on mic. I'm going to save them all up, put them in my pocket.
Well, that's what the listeners like, so might as well do it, right?
They like people getting their dings in?
No, they like me making fun of you.
Oh, they like you to be my foil.
Yes.
Oh. Do you have any more saved up, or can we move on?
I'll bring them out throughout the show. It's fine.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Drunk.
Yes, sir.
How many different social medias do you communicate with Mike on?
Just the Facebook Messenger that he made me sign up for.
Made you sign up for it? I didn't even know you were signing up for it. I just got a friend request from WFOD Mike 4.
You basically said, Napier's gone. You need to participate more in the show prep. I need you to get on Facebook.
I don't think that and conversation happened.
No, that conversation absolutely
happened. That conversation didn't happen.
Jim, who do you believe here?
That's made up!
100%.
Oh, Drunk, I need you on Facebook so I can communicate with you more often to,
I think
to be
I,
more involved in the
no,
show.
No, because you got on Facebook Messenger when Napier was still on the show.
No.
Yes, you did.
Nope. No, he didn't.
Okay,
until you kicked Napier off of everything.
I didn't kick... Oh, yeah. Oh, no, okay. Yeah, I did kick Napier off
Can I ask a favor from Drunk? Drunk, can you log into your Twitter account?
Sure.
And read the last direct message that Mike sent you? Because I know you have a direct message from Mike on Twitter.
I don't think I direct message Drunk.
At some point you did. At one point in his history, you sent him a direct message.
It probably included Travis.
We have been in some group DMs on Twitter.
Drunk, if it's incriminating, don't read it. You don't have to listen to Matt. This is going to take a really long time, Matt. I mean, if we want to do something else while Drunk is looking.
Speed, yeah.
Do you guys like the new chat room with SpongeBob SquarePants GIFs? The old one, it just stopped working. Just randomly, it just stopped working, and we couldn't figure out how to fix it. And so I got this other one, and I don't know what I think about it yet. I don't like that everybody can make their own name. Like we have Travis for real and Nude Dudes. I don't know who Nude Dudes is.
So the last one was on January 12th, and it was about Michael Douglas getting throat cancer.
January 12th of what year? 2016?
Yeah, what year, buddy?
2018.
I sent something about Michael Douglas getting throat cancer?
Yeah.
Oh. So it's nothing like really that warrants... doing that, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was really hoping a better payoff, but
so I mean, Matt. Just to be clear, what is the preferred contact method that I should use? Like, which one?
Just Facebook Messenger. That's
okay.
The
so you don't want tweets. You don't want Instagrams. You don't want Snapchat.
Mind the Instagrams for obvious reasons.
That's just for butts.
Right. And then I don't need the private, like if you want to send me a Snapchat, but I don't need a hey, how you doing on Snapchat Messenger.
There's a lot of rules.
Yeah, I know. Like, do you hear all these rules,
why
Jim?
But then why is it got to be followed up by a text that says, are you happy?
Jim, you see, I
would love a text asking if I was happy. Jim, I got nothing. I'm out here in the cold.
With the messenger.
I am a friend without borders is what I am. Like, you know, there's no limitations to my friendship. I reach out how I reach out. And I
should go back to school. You could become a doctor.
A doctor of friendship?
No, without borders.
Oh.
Just a friend.
That Sacha Baron Cohen show, that's what me and Matt were talking about.
Yeah.
There is some incriminating stuff in that Twitter DM exchange with me, you, and Drunk.
Oh, were you looking?
Yeah, I was, went all the way back to the beginning.
Oh, my God. If you go back years, you're bound to find something. See, that's what happens is you go all the way back to the beginning. And it was a different time, Travis.
Yeah, that's how people get fired.
It was a different time back then.
It wasn't that long
ago, actually. That was like in and around when I got the Facebook. So that's, I think the Facebook Messenger kind of took over after that.
I heard a pretty funny joke that the James Gunn thing is like Reverse Minority Report. That's just people digging through the past to just fuck people over.
Now, that was what, 2008, 2009? Those edgy tweets he was sending out? Did that predate the Guardians movies?
I'll be honest with you. Like the James Gunn thing, it sucks. Like I liked Guardians 1 and 2, really excited for Guardians 3. But is it true that he kind of lashed out at other people for making? And I guess
he was a guy throwing stones in a glass house.
But is it though? Like obviously he's coming at it from an angle of comedy. And I think this is where you get the sticky wicket. But if he's coming at it for, I'm just making some jokes, rather than other people who are being a little bit more serious with it. So is he actually going after other people? Like, did he lobby for Roseanne to be taken off the air?
Absolutely he did. I'm sure he did. He was big in the lobbying of what's that Republican gal that made fun of David Hogg?
I don't know.
What's that gal's name? The gal that did the Nazi salute at the Republican primary. She's on Fox News. I can't think of her name. She sucks. But he was big on getting all of her advertisers canned and
Laura Ingraham?
Laura Ingraham, that's it. Yeah. I mean, so he was big on all of those and it all sucks. And
it's all it's like a big pot of hypocrisy.
Yeah,
it's like
it is. It's it really fine. Is.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, we can be bummed out because, like, it's now affected work that we like. But it was shitty when other people were doing it, too. Right. I mean,
I think it's always shitty. Like, I think it's shitty that anybody, especially if you're making a joke about it, like if it's just a joke and that's the context, like that's this whole thing now is we really can't even view or look at context whatsoever anymore. It's out the window.
And with a guy like James Gunn, who I like and I've followed for a long time, going back, you know, Super and Slither and all that before he even became part of the Disney family, like he always was an edgy kind of guy. But now he's like a recovering edgelord, right? So it's almost like a guy who quit smoking and then like tells you how bad smoking is for you, like after he quit. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah.
And that gets a little, like I said, that's a little sticky. And especially a guy who is as vocal as he is, because I really do like his social media content for the most part, where he's giving behind the scenes and talking to fans and all that. But, you know, when you are so aggressively anti something and you're working for a large corporation like that and like Mike said, and you're actively involved in trying to get other people fired, he had to expect some kind of retaliation for that.
See, I think that at this point, if you are in the public eye and you are starting to gain fame, like you need to cut all of this stuff off at the pass. Like James Gunn really should have just been like, hey, like right now or even like a year ago or whatever, if he was or as he was attacking those people, if he just said, hey, you know, I used to make these terrible comments or I used to make these jokes and I don't even think they're terrible jokes or the terrible comments. Like, dude, a joke is a joke is a joke. It's fine. Jokes are supposed to be meant to be uncomfortable sometimes. All forms of art can be uncomfortable. That's fine. Accept it. Own it. But if he wanted to kind of come out squeaky clean and say that he's this better person, he should have addressed it, right? Like he should have said, "Hey,
I fucked up."
Yeah, he did. There's interviews on record from years back, like I don't know, three, four years ago.
You know, obviously, you know, fuck Disney because Disney, they knew about it. It's not like they didn't have somebody audit the shit out of him.
Oh, sure.
They hired the guy that made Romeo and Juliet for trauma. I mean,
yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy, Liquid put in the chat, Guardians of the Galaxy came out in 2014. So, I mean, that stuff was out there before they even hired him.
Right. And he apologized for it. I think before they even hired him for that, because I know that he had done some like fake porn kind of stuff beforehand, some like web shorts or something, where people, as soon as he was hired to make a Disney movie, people were coming out of the woodwork already saying, look at this, you know, James Gunn used to make porn and here Disney is hiring him. And well, it's not really porn. It's like a porn parody. It's like comedy skits. So they were already kind of, they knew who they were dealing with when they hired him. And now it's just because of this landscape that we're in. And I said to Mike immediately, because I wasn't following social media when this happened, Disney painted themselves into a corner when they fired Roseanne. I mean, that's just all there is to it. When you start to set a precedent of getting rid of, you know, your network stars, your directors, your actors, your writers, when you get rid of them because of something they said on social media, now you have to do it every single time.
They've done the same thing with their sportscasters and stuff on ESPN, because Disney owns ESPN, and a lot of those guys have said stuff and they've given them boot.
And I was talking to Dan Fernicase about it, and he made the point that I mean,
of course you were.
What were you talking to him on? Was it on Twitter or
I Snapchat? Called him on the phone. You're talking on the telephone.
Old school style, huh?
Yeah. And he was saying that, you know, the other ones, like, you know, the comment that Roseanne made offended and hurt people. And I mean, you know, you can roll your eyes and say, oh, come on. What did it really? But the point that he was making was like, you know, the guy that went after James Gunn and drummed up all this old shit was just doing it to be a retaliatory shithead.
Oh, and I'm not defending that. I'm just saying that if you look at a couple of those tweets that were brought up, James Gunn in there jokes that Louis Anderson is a pedophile and has young boys in his ass.
Right, right. So, no, I mean, and I think
Louis Anderson was probably hurt by that. You know what I mean?
Right. And I agree. But you know, the motive behind one, I think, is I think this is wrong. And the other one, I think, was just, hey, fuck that guy.
I'll get you.
I don't know. Again, you just start messing around with context. And I think that's the main issue, is that really everybody, we have to figure out a way to just lighten up about it. Otherwise, we're going to lose everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think Roseanne should have been fired. And she's going to say that she was making a joke. And that's just that should be where it's at. And then he's going to say, all right, well, this was a joke. Now, granted, his joke is older than her joke. But again, you're just playing with semantics. You're just saying, oh, this isn't that or this is that. And she should have made those jokes now, but he made those jokes then. It's like, no, stop. It is, she shouldn't have been fired. He shouldn't have been fired. All of these people that are being fired for jokes or a miscomment or whatever it is, it shouldn't result in a firing and people going back and digging up all this shit.
Do you want to know what the best account on Twitter is? There's a goalie for the Florida Panthers. His name is Roberto Luongo.
That's your boy.
And you know, he's been in the league a really long time. He's had varying degrees of success.
He's about 40, so that's good for a boy.
And he has a Twitter account. It is at Strombone1, and that was like his nickname in high school or something.
Somebody already had Strombone taken.
Well, he wears the number one, and so it might be that. It might Strombone might have been taken. I don't know, but he has never officially said this is my Twitter account, but everybody knows it's his Twitter account. And so, like, he can make jokes about himself. He can make jokes that other people can't probably get away with making because
he don't have that blue check.
He has that deniability. He can say that ain't my Twitter account, guys. And so that's what you got to do. You have to have a secret that ain't a secret.
A Twitter account that doesn't have a blue check mark.
And if you have something to lose, like a job with Disney, making shitloads of money, making movies that like are really popular. Just don't tweet. just don't reply to people and get yourself into a whole fucking thing. Like, I mean, like, you know, Twitter should just be full of people that have nothing else to lose. And to post like a movie trailer when you put out a new movie. Have a verified account, sure, but never use it. Post pertinent things to your business and just get off of that thing, because it's just a fucking cesspool of garbage people.
How do you reckon you get one of those blue check marks?
Why do you need one?
Well, I'm not the one that needs one. You're the one that needs one.
Oh, you think I need one?
You can pay absolutely for
it. Do you think anybody's pretending to be me? Like, you think there's a whole bunch of people out there making Mike parody accounts and
probably
posting bogus links to our podcast?
I think Mike is making Mike parody accounts.
We're all attacking you for no reason because we think all these accounts are actually you.
Do you think I'm going to start getting into, like... I'm probably going to get to a point where, like, the only person I can do a show with is, like, a fake me. Just I'm going to start doing, like, a me talking to robot voices.
You're going
to
be like Phil Hendry.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be like, hey, Mike, how you doing? I'm doing good. And then I'll do some guitar solo.
Why were you the fake voice?
I didn't think that bit out too well, man. Did I?
You are a fucking clown. You look like a clown, too.
No?
No.
You know, Mike always wonders what he would do on a solo show if nobody could do it with him one week.
Yeah, but an hour
there's
of
plenty
that.
Of he's got like five people on the show, and he's doing his mouth thing.
Look at my Richie Sambora, Travis. It's a solid bit, right?
Got to have an audience for those types of things.
It's a solid bit, the Richie Sambora bit. You guys want to go to break, I guess? You want to keep talking?
Yeah, I need a break, Mike.
Do you, Travis?
I mean, you can keep going, but I'm going to bow out for a minute.
Going to go get a refill?
Yeah.
You're listening to strangelabel.com. Viva La Label.
Ladies and gentlemen, please remain standing for our national anthem.
Oh God! Oh! Three, six, five!
What you gonna, do with dipping dots? Do what, dee da dee da doo da. Do what, da dee da doo da doo. Do what, do that, eat that, do that, that. Give me some give it, dipping dots, that, that. Do what, do that, eat that, eat that, eat that. Do what, do that, eat that, eat that, eat that. Do what, do that, eat that, eat that, eat that. Give me some.
Hey, what's up? This is Gwen Stefani, and you are listening to
WFOD.
Flying so high, the world is so small when you're up in the sky. If I was a bird, I'd shit on everything, everyone, all the world would be my toilet. If I was a bird, I'd shit on all your things. Nothing would be safe from my aerial poops. I used to get mad, but how can you get mad when you do the same? I'd shit on everything from my perch up high.
I'd seek out new cars, smug pricks. I'd seek out old men, fresh paint, little girls, crappy bands, Ethan Hawke. I don't like his face. If I was a bird, I'd shit on everything, everyone. All the world would be my toilet. If I was a bird, I'd shit on all your things. Nothing would be safe from my air.
So at first, I think this is a mistake. But deep inside, there is no other option. Once again, WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Welcome back. Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype.
Can I ask you a question?
Oh, God. What?
Why do you always give out the phone number when nobody ever calls?
What?
Why do you always give out the phone number when nobody ever calls?
Because we have a phone number.
One of these days, drunk, somebody is going to use that
People
phone number.
People have called before, drunk.
We've had calls from the future, for shit's sake.
Fair enough.
Calls from the future, drunk. 636-487-HAND.
Leave a voicemail. I want to hear that drop again. It's been so long.
WFOD show on Skype. We have it if you're interested. Or you could join the chat over at strangelabel.com/live. We have Matt from the Lotus Cast and Jim from the Not Safe for Water Coolers podcast. Matt, when I talked to you earlier, we were talking about the Sacha Baron Cohen show. And I said, Ava, you should jump on with the boys.
Yeah, you did. Has everybody up to date on that show or no?
Travis, you watching the Sacha Baron Cohen program?
I just watched the first two episodes last night.
Yeah, there's only two episodes. Did you? I can't imagine anybody that's here right now is not a fan of like Borat, Bruno, or Ollie G.
Yeah, I mean it's all fun. I watch it all.
I love Borat.
I mean, I don't have like Borat posters or anything. I'm a casual fan of Sacha Baron Cohen's work.
Borat was one of the only movies that I went to and saw in the theater. I enjoyed it right away because it's so ridiculous and plays out way different than you thought. But it was the only movie I went to that I actually had people walk out of the theater and not return in disgust, because there was a lot of gasps. And I remember Superbad and how like edgy that was when Superbad came out, where it immediately starts with like a porn talk and is like all F-bombs the whole time. But Borat, when he starts talking about his sister and his mom and shit when he's in the village, like people were gasping in disgust and people like walked out of the theater. It was ridiculous.
Matt, did you see that? I don't remember who it was. I just saw it in passing, but there was like some country guys that recognized him and were yelling, "Get out of here, Borat!"
Yeah, I heard a little bit about that today. As he walked into, was it a gun shop?
They all look ridiculous. They like don't look like him at all.
Yeah, they don't really look like him. I will say that if it was the Israeli counter-terrorist that he has now, that one, if you really look at it, you're kind of like, is that, you know, like he looks a little too ridiculous.
Yeah, he's like, his jaw is like too chiseled. He's got like too square of a head.
Yeah.
I think that he has like a like an inflatable muscle suit on, too.
It looks like it. That I'll tell you that the mega liberal hippie guy is like spot on. Like when he's sitting there and he's talking to those rich people in their house across from a dinner table. And he's like he's like resting his hands on his big fake belly and shit.
So that's the kind of stuff like those types of bits. Right. Like watching the first episode. That really took me back to enjoying the Ali G show, where it was just ridiculous and, you know, there's no real angle, right? We're just doing this ridiculous stuff and this is the reaction that we're getting. And it wasn't really like that wasn't super political. Like, yeah,
it's not like an agenda.
Yeah, I understand he's a left wing character to get into this interview with these people, but. Yes, it was just ridiculous. Like, it's just so ridiculous. And to see their reaction. But then I was watching the second episode. And Jim, have you watched it at all?
I just saw the clip with the Republican congressman and the Israeli. The Israeli counterterrorist guy.
I was telling Mike before the show. I was like, the second episode, like, there were moments where I laughed. But more after the entire episode, I kind of just felt like dirty and awkward. Like I didn't, it was entertaining, but at the same time it was just really sad.
Jim, you saw the clip of the guy from Georgia that was doing
yelling the
self-defense.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about
that?
He
goes by Napier.
You know, it's funny that thing where he pulled his ass out and chased people with his naked ass. Napier used to do
you're
that.
You're a fucking congressman, dude.
Well, and that's
your ass in your pants.
I'm watching this, and the wife, she's half watching it, and she's like, "Is this real?" I'm like, "Yeah, Sacha Baron Cohen is doing his like Borat bit where he's like conning these people." He's like, "Well, how is it real?" Like, I'm trying to figure out what she means. She's like, "Well, how are they making a show? How did they get these people to sign a release form?" And it was almost like unheard of to her that this congressman would sign a release form to like do like a right wing show with this Israeli counterterrorist guy and actually pull his ass out for something that was going to be aired. He knew it was going to be aired.
I read that guy's statement and I did a little bit of a deep dive on him. The guy's name is Jason Spencer. He's a 43-year-old guy. He was elected to the Georgia House of Representatives in 2010. In 2012, he won unopposed. In 2014, he won unopposed. In 2016, he won unopposed. He's just kept his job since winning an election in 2010. His big bill that he put out there that got national attention is he was trying to ban burkas from driver's license photos.
Right.
He wanted gals to show their faces and you know what? In the right context, like I don't disagree with him. He got a ton of shit for it and eventually withdrew it because he got so much shit for it. But I mean, like, you know, you can't wear a mask in your fucking
driver's license. Wasn't part of that, though, them wearing burkas in public? You shouldn't wear burkas in public because in public they can't tell.
Well, he's big on that too, but the bill that he introduced was specifically driver's license photos.
I think if you look into it, I think that was written into that initial bill.
Is it really that big of an issue though? Because women from that culture who are in dogmatic Muslim religions, they're not allowed to drive anyway, right? Are they really getting drivers? I'm saying seriously, I don't think that they're married off at young ages and they aren't allowed to drive.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I couldn't really comment on it, and I don't know. Like,
so when he introduced
because you're a cis white male and you hate yourself,
that's part of it. Yeah,
Matt, are you happy?
Are you happy?
So he introduced this, and he got a ton of death threats, and people were saying this guy's a big Islamophobe, and so they went to him and they said, "Hey, man, like we want to make an instructional video for other public officials in case they are encountered by people who are giving them death threats.
I will say that's probably the most genius thing. Like, Sacha Baron Cohen, as funny as he is, to be able to keep a straight face in all of these bits, right? The other angle of this are the people that write up those forms that, hey, you we're going to get you to sign this before, and then we're going to film it. And like the people who actually get them, that get the hooks in, that's where a lot of the genius of.
Oh, it's amazing to get for that first episode when he was doing the trying to convince that NRA lobbyist that we should get guns in the hands of children as young as 3 years old.
The kindergartens,
and they make that video, that fun video, for them to have talked him into doing like the funny character voices with the guns, with the weird puppets and shit on them. You're right. It's genius because they had, what did they have? Like a good half dozen to 10 people in the end of that thing, like writing off on this kindergartens program.
Kurt Metzger's a writer for their show.
I saw that. Nathan Fielder's a writer. Kurt Metzger's a writer. But I mean, they had like big, like that outspoken right wing Joe Walsh guy even did like a little bit in the back end of that show. And it's like, how do you convince these people to do this?
Well, how do you not have a guy on your staff like on the day that says, oh, no, that's Borat.
Yeah, don't do this.
Well, and again, that's just how hidden he is. Like that right wing guy that's in the wheelchair. You know, they have that website that's like truthbrary.com, and it's this really in-depth, you know, bio of the guy and what he's doing, what they're doing and all this shit. And it's like, oh, if you go to vet them, like that's how good Borat's team is. It's like, we're going to be vetted. You have to make sure that when we get vetted, all of our bases are covered.
Right.
So this guy said,
I mean, for him to put this together, you know, however long and far in advance, and to just drop it and be like, hey, I got a new show. And now these people, you know, I don't know, months and months later, like, holy shit, I got taken by Borat.
Right.
You know, I mean, that is genius to be able to do that, especially this day and age with like social media and shit and like people with fucking cameras everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
For him to have been able to do this is amazing.
To do it now. Yeah. It's definitely way more of a challenge than, you know, back in fucking 2006 or 7 when he was doing, well, I guess earlier than that with Ollie G show.
Now, this guy says that he thought that the video was going to be used for public officials, but still, just to know that there's a video out there of you pulling your ass out and yelling the N-word. I mean, like, even if you don't know it's going to be on Showtime, like, you have to know that video exists and know it's a bad idea, right?
It's one of the most ridiculous things. Now,
and I pulled the clip of the guy at the end, like yelling into the camera. This is an elected official drunk. This is a man that.
This is the worst part. Like this is worse than him chasing him around with his asshole.
All you damn sand over in the Middle East, we are tired of you coming to America, and we are tired of you trying to threaten us. We will cut off your dick. You understand?
That's him cutting off a mannequin's dick.
We will take your dick and we will shove it in your mouth, pull it off, and put
it in your
mouth.
That's him taking a bite out of it.
How are you going to rape children and women without a dick?
I'm Jason Spencer. I'm an elected official in the state of Georgia. I'm a state representative and member of the Georgia General Assembly.
I do love that right after that they ran that Georgia peach.
Yeah, that was great. Prominently. I'll tell you what made me more uncomfortable, because you're right, that episode, like, there was some funny shit in it, but it just made me feel bad. And it was not that so much as when he was in Arizona pitching that economic development to all those people, and they were super pumped about it until he revealed it was a mosque. And the pure hatred and racism that oozes out of that little conference room.
But that's low hanging fruit. I mean, like, that wasn't anything that shocked me.
Yeah. Well,
no,
well,
but to see it in action is just so disgusting.
To me, Mike, the low hanging fruit was the bit with the girl, the reality star from The Bachelor. Like, I thought that was low hanging fruit. That was just somebody who was trying to get on camera. He tricked her. Okay, whatever. That was like, you got real people into a room and said, hey, we're going to put a mosque here. And then their actual real reactions. And like, this is actual real hatred, racism, and tolerance. It's all of it. It's to the core. It's not somebody like, oh, those people were trying to get on camera and say ridiculous things so they could be on camera. These are people that, you know, granted a small room, granted a small portion of that town, but that's real. That is real, real.
Is that the goal of the show, though? Is the show intended to make you feel bad?
I think after that second episode, that's how I felt. I was like, this makes me feel so uncomfortable. Like, yeah, there's entertainment. There's a value to this. But I almost think this Who is America thing, like, after that episode, was more to be like, guys, this is really fucked up.
Well, I think that's why he didn't show that in the first episode. Like, the first episode was a little more whimsical, you know, to kind of suck you in. And then the second one was like, hey, here you go.
This is awful. All these things.
Yeah. Right.
Dude, these are all bad things.
He got Dick Cheney to proudly sign a water board.
Oh, and that comment that he made that he never signed one of those before and that it was going to be very valuable.
It's not like you see a clip of him going to sign the water jug bottle for waterboarding and think, oh, man, that's been taken out of context. Motherfucking Dick Cheney was like, well, I've never been asked to sign a waterboard bottle before. That's going to be worth a lot of money. Like, what? What? Why are you doing that? Why is somebody presenting you a plastic milk jug that you have said that you used it for waterboarding? And you're like, yeah, I'll sign that for you, buddy.
It's all just intended to make you feel like shit. And sad.
I mean, it just felt awkward. I just felt like after the episode, I remember looking at Rochelle. I was like, ew.
There's very little whimsy left in the world, Drunk. It's all just kind of a big shit sandwich, you know?
Agreed.
See, 2018 is supposed to be the year of bits.
But it's really bits. The year of people getting in trouble.
Yeah, it's the year of people getting in trouble and sadness.
We had more bits the year that we had our old buddy Jim on to do the Sexy Ninja Turtle story. I feel like there was more bits per episode back then than there is this year.
Very, very little year. Bits, really. The year of bits has not been very bit heavy.
Maybe next year will be the year of bits.
Maybe we just keep thinking that because that's what it should be. It should just be having fun and doing bits.
Can I ask you all of you guys as men in relationships a question?
Oh, okay.
Please.
Is this a bit?
No,
not a bit at all. This is a real thing. Okay. So
are you going to start talking all whispery?
If your woman, your lady, if
my
she
property,
asks
right?
You, yeah, your property. If she asked you to jerk off in front of her while she watched, would you do it?
Yes.
Again, I guess that's what she's into.
Like, if she was like, I just want to watch.
Wouldn't you just feel like a silly goose?
Right? Like,
I feel like this has come up before. Yeah, and enthusiasm has been expressed, but it seemed weird to me.
Now, I mean, are we talking just like out of nowhere? Like you're watching.
I'll put it this way: let's say you're taking a shower and you've got like one of those glass door showers, and your lady friend, your wife is getting ready. And she's putting her makeup on and she looks over at you and she's like, I kind of just like, why don't you perform for me?
Well, if I was in the shower, I'd most likely already be doing that. So.
Are you a shower jerker, Travis?
Yeah, it's probably. Yeah.
That's
your
primary source of.
So he's a shower jerker and a standing buncher.
I don't know if it's primary, right? I mean, it's often enough, but I wouldn't say it's a primary go-to.
You know where my primary spot is, Trent?
Where?
Right in this goddamn chair I'm sitting in right now.
Or maybe it's the chair that you're sitting in because he did move them around before the show.
Although his chair has the better view of the TV, so.
The only time I sit in Drunk's chair is in the morning when I'm coming down here to put stuff, music files on my phone, and I forget my glasses, and I'm usually naked. And
sounds about right.
I sit down there to put stuff on my phone for the day, and I have to sit closer to the television so that I can see, because I forgot my glasses upstairs. I'm not going all the way back upstairs.
Well, I do know that if he puts up a new tab, and you know how they got the little 8 boxes of the your most 8 recently.
Yeah, Pornhub's number 4.
Pornhub's number 4 for my.
Yeah, there's a torrent site, the Strange Label stream site, Facebook, and Pornhub.
You don't
Drunk,
use
what,
top 4.
Drunk, what
about Incognito?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why they make that.
Exactly.
No. I like when they give me suggestions based on my search history. You know, like they're like, hey, you know, you watched this stuff, you'll probably like this one, and they're like, usually
you
right.
You like new, Asian Beach? Try
to go through a couple pages, you'll find something you're interested in.
No, that's no,
the I mean, there's always like something videos. In the first two.
I go to the suggested. I go to suggested, and they say, "Hey, you like this stuff, huh?" And they're like, "Yeah, that's good. I'll watch that."
I agree with Jim. I feel like the first two pages of new, if it's got like a thumbs up of like 90 some percent, you're pretty much golden. Just go. How long are you
walking? Your cup of tea. You saw something in that thumbnail that attracted you, and then there'll be related videos right underneath there. You just go down the rabbit hole from there.
Go on a little bit of a hunt.
And then you don't have to look like a fucking pervert to, you know, Annie Sheila when she comes on needs to log on the fucking Facebook for a minute.
Drunk, do you perform for your gal?
I mean, if she asked me to, I would.
You would?
I wouldn't have no problem.
Just be like, you like
You wouldn't
like
feel
this?
Weird doing it, though? Like, you wouldn't feel awkward, like...
No.
So to be fair, she's not helping at all in any way, shape, or form.
None. She's just watching.
Like, standing there stoically.
Like, do you try to be sexy about it? Or do you, like, do it the way that you would normally do it?
Is she at least, like you said, she's getting ready. Is she at least, like, I mean, partially nude?
She's in her underoos. So she asked me. She asked me the other day. She was like, she's getting ready for work. And I was in the shower. And she's like, you know, I want to see you take care of business. And I'm like, okay, all right. And
do you shoot it at her?
Do I what?
Do you shoot it at her?
In her direction? I have to.
That's like the only payoff of doing that would be where you put it.
Can I be frank?
You can.
I would probably take her up on it just so that I could instruct her a little bit, because I've been giving myself hand jobs for nigh on 20 plus years. I'm fucking great at it. She's working at it. I mean, she's not a novice, but she's far from the journeyman I am. I give her some tips and tricks.
And maybe that's the request there, Matt. Maybe she's trying to figure it out. Like, she's like, she had some concerns in her mind. She's like, I don't think I'm doing this correctly. Or quick enough or right for him, and I want to see how
would,
he does it.
I would maybe say that if there was like a chance to be a better observer rather than like, you know what, like she's in the shower or I'm in the shower and, you know, she's outside the shower.
Hand jobs are specifically designed to try to upsell like once you're in the game.
Right.
I mean, like, it's like the $3 car wash. Like, you go to the $3 car wash and you get up to the thing, and they're immediately telling you that the $3 car wash is a piece of shit and that you need to get your tires shined.
Right, you need the $8 car wash.
You need the wax. You need the $8 car wash. Yeah, that's what a hand job is. You get the hand job, to get them in the parking lot.
Of course. It's definitely a lead in, yeah. You know? Yeah. It's an appetizer.
So, I don't know. I mean, I don't.
I feel like it's more like you show up at a restaurant and it's almost closing time and all the specials are gone. And they're like, well, we can just toss this shit on the grill for you if you really want to stick around. But we were about to close. So if you wanted to go somewhere else, that also would be fine.
I just know it was like in the beginning, just incredibly awkward and odd, because it's like, oh, well, you're just going to watch. And then like you become conscious of like the face you're making. And then just to try to break the weirdness of it, like you start making weird faces to make, you know, lighten the mood.
Like exaggerate it, like a ton, like your tongue's out and shit.
Because it's like weird. Like, you
can
know.
Can you be honest about this? Were you thinking about her?
Yes.
See, I don't think in that situation I would have thought about her.
I think, I think that I would do nothing but like be worried that I wouldn't be able to complete. Like I'd just be like, oh, there's too much pressure on me. This is
sure.
I'm not doing it the way I'd normally do it because I'm performing.
Is that like the fear of peeing in public places?
Yeah. Like she's worried that she's probably getting bored with this. I'm taking too long.
You'd probably call Matt up and have him talk you through it.
Are you happy?
I wish I weren't such a fat piece of shit. I bet my tits are jiggling.
Oh, that's the worst part is like, because if you're like, especially if you're in the shower, right? Like you're
the water's getting cold,
fully nude. And it's like there's the ripples and the folds and the this and, you know, it's just like it's almost humiliating.
Do I use too many messaging devices?
Maybe she's appreciating your new body.
I would think about everything drunk. I would think about too many things. I need like a clear head.
You're too. You're too in your own head. I would just let her rip.
Okay,
boom.
By this time next week on the show, everybody should go and request a jerk off in front of their significant others, and then report back.
So you're suggesting it to them now? Like you're gonna Louis C.K. your wife? You're gonna be like, hey. Hey,
yeah, I think you gotta Louis out. C.K. your wife.
But don't even say anything. Just stand in front of the doorway so they can't get out of the bathroom.
Right. Yeah, invite them over. Invite them into the bedroom for dinner.
Tell them it'll really help their career.
And say, hey, do you mind if I take care of this?
No, don't even ask if you mind. just do it. Now, see, and that'd be the only way that it would happen in my household because there's nobody ever going to ask me to be naked in front of them, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if I could play some sexy Richie Sambora guitar while I...
Hey, before you do that, since I don't want to hear that again, I actually had I had brought a thing to the show. I was curious because I remember a while ago you had talked about your Kmart shirts from the gentleman from Maroon 5. Right. So I was
the Adam Levine collection. Yeah.
Yeah, you're Adam Levine's, and
there's no Kmart's left around
here,
Jim.
I've had the same.
Might have to mail order.
You're a liar. There's one right across the fucking street from your house.
Oh, I don't go to that one.
Oh my god,
it's not the good one. But I've had the same haircut and beard for like 6 years, and I was having a conversation at work today, and I have a gentleman who works for me. He's more fashion conscious. And he was insulting cargo pants or shorts. And I say I almost exclusively have cargo shorts.
Yeah, me too.
I realize they're out of style. But
do you keep stuff in them?
I don't. Okay, they're not out of style anymore.
Do you like the way they really look?
Are. People are wearing them like crazy. It's just now the fun thing to make fun of said cargo shorts.
That makes me feel better, Matt. Thank you. Yeah, all I have are cargo shorts.
That's all I have as well. I have one pair of, I got them at Goodwill. It's like Calvin Klein, like dress shorts that you would wear maybe if you were going to a fancy party.
Sure.
I've never worn them, by the way. I think I bought them 2 years ago.
There's a small intersection of your needs for those shorts and in actual events.
But no, guys, the cargo shorts, do you put stuff in the cargo pockets?
Oh, sure. I realized when I had my cargo shorts that I don't like to have my keys in my hip pockets.
Mm-hmm.
Bulky and uncomfortable.
But I mean, it's too much weight bouncing against my leg.
That's where you put them, though.
Cargo shorts, essential when going to a concert. You Agreed. Put your wallet and your keys in the pockets, and you don't have to worry about getting pickpocketed if there's people behind you.
Oh, yep. Matt.
And then you have more room in the main pockets for drink tickets. And
I feel for my wallet the entire time I'm at a concert. Every couple of minutes, I feel my back pocket to make sure nobody stole my wallet.
Oh, I also, still check my cargo.
Concert, you're always feeling the back pockets of the lead singers.
I'm always hey, you got your fucking wallet in here. Pocket, so.
What?
So, Jim, where are we going with that?
Yeah, so I was curious of how everyone sort of cultivated their looks. We're all men of a certain age, maybe not as fashion conscious as we once were, although Matt's sporting quite a haircut I'm enjoying. And
yeah, Matt does have like a young man's haircut.
How we all landed on this. I think mine is this haircut doesn't cost anything. I do it myself.
Yeah.
And I think I've just become, I was heavier. I've lost some weight. So I was just buying clothes that fit, which I was getting close to sizing out of normal stores. Oh, I would have to go to the Fat Boy store. So now I'm good. I can go back. I can go back to Kohl's. I lost enough weight to go back to Kohl's, but
you started saying, "Why do they only make this in a large?"
I think you should.
But yeah, I was just curious how if anyone consciously cultivated their look, or any thoughts, or how to improve it, or just sort of any general thoughts.
Same beard, go man bun like me.
Yeah, Drunk has a man bun now.
That's how you got to roll,
Jim.
Can I see that? I would love to see the man bun.
Yeah, I haven't seen this new man bun.
All right, I'll take a picture of Drunk's man bun, Matt.
I actually gotta fix it because I'm kind
of whiskey. I was gonna say this. One of the greatest.
You want a model for them?
Yes, indeed.
One of the greatest investments that I have ever made, and it's for just me personally, is scheduling myself to go to an actual barber shop to get my hair done, and I would have never done it if my wife, had not actually scheduled it, and she knew somebody who was like one of these new gentleman barbers, and it's becoming kind of like this hip thing to do, is to actually go and get the whole thing, get the haircut, get it faded, get the cut all like a gentleman style, get my beard shaped up, get the straight razor shaved. Even if I don't go, like I keep my beard, he shapes everything up with a straight razor. And he, you know, the hot towel, the whole thing, it cost me $25, and I feel so good after it. And just hanging out in this barbershop, the guy that cuts my hair, he's got like a fucking ton of tattoos. We talk about comic books. We talk about movies. That's it for this brief, you know, like 30 minutes that I'm there. And it has been amazing. And so I really think that if you can find a place like that, try it out. Get the whole experience, and then
we have an art of shaving at the mall. Is that the thing like that?
I don't know. I doubt it. I would really look for like a barber shop, like a place.
They got barber chairs.
Yeah, find
you know that,
find
that
one
is super hipster.
Poles,
like you know right. they make the walls look like there's bricks on them, and the guys have these old fashioned tattoos, and they've got mustaches, and they've got these you know like haircuts like mine. That's what you need to look for. Just go one time. Go one time, get the experience.
How often are you going?
I'm not joking. I go every 2 weeks.
I do this every 2 weeks.
You do that?
That's $50 a month, Matt.
Yeah,
Jim,
you have to invest some money on you.
But I really do. Like I feel better about it. I feel a little bit more confident. I just feel good after the whole experience. Like I look forward to it. I go in. And it's just a good time, and everybody there is like we joke about stuff. We were joking about Sacha Baron Cohen this past haircut.
We were talking
about James Gunn getting fired. It was just a good time, you know.
I feel like that when I leave my chiropractor.
I see you in the chat window, and I see myself right in the corner. And I got to be honest, you look a lot more put together than I do. So this could be a direction. I don't know. I don't have hair that can be styled though. It's
You'll be amazed. Like you go there, the guy will make it something work. Like if you let your hair grow out a little bit, they will. Like I didn't have this until I went there, and the guy was like, "Here's what I'm gonna do," and I was like, "I don't know what that is." Okay.
Liquid in the chat has referred you to a Reddit for male fashion advice, Jim.
Mm-hmm. I'm aware of it. Thank you, Liquid.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I go to Sport Clips, and you know, because when you go there, you get to watch sports while they cut your hair. It's a whole thing, Jim. And every time I go there, I hype myself up the whole time. I said, I'm going to tell that gal to do something new. And
you never do.
And I never do. No, every time I go there, I end up just saying, hey, I got a one on the bottom and the sides and just cut it shorter on the top. And that's what they do. And however they interpret that, that's what I go with. And I've never in my life been happy with my hair. Not one time have I said,
well, how much are you paying at the Sports Clips?
It's like $20.
So why not spend try Matt's advice? Spend five more dollars and find one. There's got to be one of these locations.
Because new things, Jim.
$20.
New things terrify me. Yeah. That is why.
No,
I know sport clips, and that's why I go there.
Mike, I would have never ever I wouldn't have known where to look. Except Rochelle was like, "Hey, here's a guy. He's dating this girl that I know. You know,
cuts hair in a barn."
Yeah, essentially
exposed brick.
Feeds it to the goats. But there's all these applications and the information's at your fingertips, Mike. Google has fucking reviews. You can just look for one that has positive reviews, and you know they'll treat you right.
Jim, as far as my clothing, buy what is on clearance.
That's what I'm
digging this jersey you got.
If I think it's fun and it's on clearance, I buy it.
I say you go exclusively hockey jersey.
I'm exclusively, you can do a Kevin Smith. I'm exclusively thrift store shopper. I very rarely buy anything unless it's at a thrift store.
The boys at Queer Eye, they said that you should wear print clothing. Shirts with print.
I just bought.
Like Ed Hardy?
No, not like that. But it's hard to explain.
I was watching the second episode of the new season, and they had this flamingo print shirt that I searched all over the internet for.
Every time I see what so they're bad. Wearing, I'm like, I should be wearing that.
I took my wife to Kohl's the other day because she wanted to go to Kohl's, and I let her roam around, and I kind of roamed around, and they had a button down shirt with it was a pink button down shirt that had the little dinosaur that the Rugrats guys liked.
You remember Reptar?
Reptar, yeah. It had that on it, and I said, "Oh, that's a fun shirt." It had a whole bunch of Reptars on it, and I was like, "I need to have this shirt." They only had it in smalls and mediums, and so I found it on Kohl's.com. And bought it, and is going to ship it to my house.
Hey, Mike.
Because I haven't fit in a small or a medium since like the fourth grade.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
This picture that I'm looking at of the man bun from Drunk.
Yeah.
Drunk looks like a replicant from Westworld that you've unplugged, like you pulled out his consciousness.
Well, he was putting his head down so that I could take a picture of his
bun. He looks as though he's just. You've unhooked him, right?
He looks exactly like, to me anyway, he looks exactly like what you were describing cuts your hair.
By the way, guys, that combination of Jim, Matt, and Travis on Facebook Messenger didn't have that one yet.
Oh, we got a new one. Gotta catch them all, yeah.
Well, I'm curious of Travis's thoughts. On the subject,
I have a stylist that I've been going to for like 15 years. We went to high school together, and I went to the same gal at JCPenney for like 3 years until she quit. And then this gal I went to high school with, she opened up her own shop, and I've been going to her ever since.
You got your haircut at JCPenney's?
Yeah, they had a salon in the back of JCPenney's for a really long time. It's long shuttered, as is the JCPenney's, but I did for a couple of years, and I went to the same gal there, and I always scheduled the appointments as soon as I was done, because otherwise I don't schedule appointments. So like I go every 4 or 5 weeks and pretty much get the same thing. I walk in and I don't even have to say what I want. She just gives it to me, and I started losing my hair a little bit more, so it was thinning a little bit more, and it was making me very self-conscious. So I said, "Hey, you got to do something about this." So she just leaves it a little bit longer on the top every 4 or 5 weeks. So
you get, that's get a my, fedora, my style. Travis, be a fedora. What's guy. That? Get a fedora.
I do have not a fedora, but I do have a hat that I very much like, but it doesn't go with my Freddy Krueger T-shirt and cargo short look very well. I did for a while, Jim. Before I put on a bunch of extra weight that I've been putting on for like 2 years, I have a subscription to Men's Health and what's the other one? Men's Fitness, which obviously I don't do anything in those magazines. But they always have a really good section in the back about fashion and looks and what's hot and what's hip. And I always wanted to kind of replicate some of the looks there, except all those dudes are like chiseled abs and look good in anything. And typically what they have in the back of those magazines costs like $500. And to even find like something similar to those things, you know, you're talking about like $100 for a shirt. And I'm just not, I'm not down with that. So for a while there, I was doing like the layered look and actually gave a shit about my appearance. And then I got fatter and started losing my hair more. And then I just kind of gave up. And so I just wear Ninja Turtle shirts and shit now.
You got to get that Reptar shirt.
I think
shirt
that's
from
a
Kohl's.
Fair point. I think, and I think that's why I'm thinking about it, because I have had recent weight loss. And I think I'm sort of moving forward with the idea that I'm going to get to a place where I might care again. I'm not there yet, but
that'd be really nice.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to think of what it is I could do, because I haven't bought new clothes except to buy clothes that sort of tense the fucking funhouse that has become my body.
Moo-moos?
Yeah.
They're sort of man moo-moos.
I definitely was there. Like, it's just the huge sizes, right? And I know this is definitely what the WFOD listeners come here to hear.
Fashion advice. Yeah, absolutely.
Straight eye for all the listeners, right?
I mean, I have taken a couple bits of advices from that show, and I'm like, oh, all right. Like, not buying the loose fit jeans and stuff. Like, it's okay to buy like slim fit.
You know what the problem here's, and just to speak to Queer Eye for a second, the one, the funny one with the long hair. Forget his name.
Yeah.
He's Jonathan. Yeah. He's the best one. He's the worst at his fucking job. His haircuts are the fucking worst. Everybody else, Bobby does a great job with the home remodel.
Are you really? No. I thought the worst one at his the worst one at his job was the cook.
He's bad. Yeah. Okay. He's not great. But you know what? He listens to them and he hears their story and he tries to incorporate that into what he's doing. I'm gonna fuck your hair up now.
The Queer Eye. This is a brand. This is a brand new pack of queers, right? For this show for Netflix,
they got all new queers.
So
I
no
talk
more
about
Carson Kelly
ladies
or,
with burgers weren't allowed
Ted
to drive
Allen
and get silent, and Travis can talk about a pack of queers and everyone's fucking rolling off their goddamn.
I mean, I didn't mean any offense, but I mean, like,
that's the name of the show, group, Travis.
Right? They call themselves queers. It's the Queer Eye. But it's like not the same ones from back in the Bravo days, right? This
right,
is a whole
right.
new, whole
a,
new
this is a new pack of queers.
No holdovers at all.
Got to be on the Tyra show 3 times a week. Yeah, they don't have
time. New pack of queers.
Well, maybe I'll start watching Queer Eye on the old
I will say that the
I've heard like 3 or 4 people recommend it now.
It's a great show. It's a great show.
Am I going to need a box of tissues?
First episode, season 1, episode 1, that was the toughest one for me.
Yeah, there's a couple emotional moments.
Emotional?
Yeah, that if you're human, you'll feel a tingle. I haven't teared up or cried at anything, but, you know, you're like, oh, wow.
Well, I mean, some of us have human emotions, so it's okay.
Right.
You do, but
we're not all Dave Harvey here.
You will wonder why all of them are in fucking Georgia for 2 seasons. It's because they film back to back. So if you get through it, you're like, why is every goddamn one of these a 2-hour drive from the Atlanta airport? It's because they film both seasons back to back.
They should come up here. I think they'd fit really well up here.
Netflix really has been like jumping up on their kind of reality television, like Queer Eyes coming back. That show nailed it. That show's a lot of fun.
Is it?
I've watched.
You're telling me to watch it.
Yeah, my wife really likes it. I've watched a couple. It's fun.
It's a fun show. Like yeah.
It's like
some laughs to be had.
It's like one of those competitive shows or cake baking shows, but like nobody knows how to bake cakes.
Yeah.
So everything looks like shit.
So what is it like? It's essentially like a televised version of Pinterest fails.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's a fun show.
Okay. Like, yeah, watch that.
Yeah, check it out.
I thought I would like the weed cooking one. I did not.
I haven't seen that one yet. It's not good.
It just made me want to get high, and I can't get high in Pennsylvania, so it was a bummer for me.
It's legal here in Massachusetts, but they still haven't been able to approve any of the commercial sales facilities yet.
So shops are open yet?
No shop is open whatsoever. Because they're being so strict on the guidelines of,
so do,
of what
do we
they're
know
selling.
When they're like projected to open?
They were supposed to be it was legal July 1st, and the stores were supposed to be open by mid-July,
And Drunk's got Southwest tabs open right
well,
now.
No.
Yeah, here we are.
me and the lady are planning our 420 trip for next year, and we're going to do Massachusetts and Maine.
Dude, if you come up here, I so badly want to take you out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But we were going to go last year because it was supposed to be January 1st, and then they pushed it back to July. And yep. then so we went to Vegas. So we went, are like, next year we'll do the Massachusetts, Maine, Niagara Falls deal. And
yeah, I but mean, the thing about that is you're not going to leave your hotel room and then you're going to fly back.
No, that's not true. Everywhere we go, we like do the aquarium and we do other stuff.
You
so.
Could you could go to Matt's Barber.
I tell you what, if you come up here drunk, I definitely want to take you to the Boston Aquarium.
Absolutely, and, yeah. That's on our bucket list every
we'll,
place.
We'll grab some lobster rolls right outside the place of this little...
You take them to the lake?
Maybe I'll take them swimming? To the lake. Yeah, okay. we'll go swimming.
What about the Lotus? Are you going to take them to the Lotus?
If he wants to stop by the Lotus, by all means. It's
have
quite
a mojito?
The,
can I metal detect
Kate,
on the
Kate
beach
Winslet,
out there?
Once ate at the Lotus, so in the movie Labor Day with Josh Brolin.
I missed that one.
Can I metal detect on
Which
the beach
one
out
was
there?
Labor Day? Which one was that?
Labor Day was a movie that I remember it was such a big deal in Medway. And for the Lotus, there's a scene where Josh Brolin and Kate Winslet are having dinner, and it's at the Medway Lotus.
Isn't that the one where he beats her all the time?
Yeah, it's exactly the one.
Oh, is Labor Day the one that like he pretends to be the dad so that the police don't get him?
I never watched.
And then
the movie.
He like
I
shows them how to bake a pie or something, and they. Fall
oh, you're
in
thinking
love
of the
him.
Help with the shit pie?
No, it's Josh Brolin. Like he's an escaped convict. And
no, you're thinking about the Transformers animated movie.
No, it's Josh Brolin, and he goes.
Oh, he comes from the future. It's Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2.
No, guys, Josh Brolin, he's an escaped convict.
Oh, the Avengers.
And he goes to this gal's CGI. House.
Right, right.
And he takes him hostage, but then they kind of like.
Oh, Sicario.
They like him.
Is he looking like a country for old men?
Oh, hey.
This could be.
Hey, Josh Brolin, I want you to be my dad. And then he bakes him a pie, and then I think the police find him.
Goonies.
Is it a dream you had?
I just remember Joe from the Lotus, not our Joe from the Lotus cast, but Joe from the Lotus was like, when he met Kate Winslet, we're like, oh, so what was it like? And he was like, oh, she crazy. She's a bitch. She's not a nice person. Did not like his experience with Kate Winslet.
Jim, that wasn't a dream I had. Do you want to hear about the dream I had last night, though? Do you want me to tell you about my dream?
Oh, nothing more riveting than hearing other people's dreams.
If you could do it over that guitar mouth thing, Jim. I'd like to hear it.
No.
It's about that.
I gotta find the
Matt. Do you got a pick of the week?
I do. My pick of the week is I want to hear Mike's dream through the top box. I don't know if he's actually talking.
I like Richie Sambora.
You want me to do that for you while you do the dream?
So my dream at my work, I walk down this hallway all the time, right? And like you know, there's corners and stuff that I go around. I go around this corner, and so I dreamt that I was at work, and at my work for some reason was Selena Gomez,
nice
in like this giant king sized bed.
Nice. Executive producer of 13 Reasons Why.
And every time I would come around this corner, Selena Gomez was in this giant bed, and she would ask me to like give her money and like you know, like ask me if I would like go get her a soda. And she would, every time I would go there, she'd like ask me for something. And like I was like, why does Selena Gomez keep asking me to get stuff? And they said, I don't know, man. She's been out there all week. And she just asks everybody that goes by to get her something.
Did she ask you for that D?
No. She was just asking me for money and stuff. And none of us thought it was weird.
I have. We just, it's the perfect like pornography scenario, and then I end up stocking a pantry, and then no way, shape, or form am I ever have. I don't have sexually charged dreams ever. Do you have those, Mike? Still, did you think that this could turn the worm could turn on this one?
Sorry, Jim, I didn't hear what you were saying. I was looking at some.
Okay.
What were you looking at, Mike?
Behind you.
Oh, what?
Is that your wife?
Travis, do you have a pick of the week?
Hey, Matt, would you do me a favor real quick?
Yeah, Matt, will you jerk off for us?
Could you stand up there, Jim?
Oh, we're off the rails here. Good Lord.
No, I'm passing. I don't have anything that I like this week.
Jim, pick of the week? Something you want the people to know?
I've talked about it on my show, but I'm just riveted by the new HBO show Succession.
I've not watched it, but I want
every Sunday for it to come out. Brian Cox is phenomenal in it, and it's written by some BBC guys who have very smart shows. I've seen Peep. They did some of them involved in Peep Show, and it's really it's produced by Adam McKay and Will Ferrell. But I would not call it a comedy. But there's a lot of funny stuff. Kieran Culkin's fucking amazing in it. He's so funny. He's so good. So yeah, Succession on HBO.
There's comedy in that. It looks like straight up like weird family drama.
I mean, it's more sort of like cringe focused humor, but yeah, I think Kieran Culkin's sort of the comedic foil, and he does a really great job.
So last night there was a DVR conflict, and it popped up, and it said, you know, hey, we're recording four things at one time. You need to get rid of one of these, and one of them was Succession, and I was like, what the fuck am I recording Succession for? It was like five or six episodes in or something, and I had them all on my DVR, and I just canceled it last night, having not watched any of them. So,
you subscribe to HBO?
Yes.
You DVR HBO shows, even though they are all on demand?
I guess I don't need to then, huh?
Right. I was about to say, if you have HBO, you have
I just HBO DVR film. Everything to remind me to watch it.
I've been waiting for that new Amy Adams show to pile up because it looked a lot like Girl on the Train and Gone Girl and shit. Oh, man, and I figured it looked like a movie because I think it's a limited, like a six episode or an eight episode, where I'll just wait till it's all on demand.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to. I watched episode one and I did not watch episode two.
Oh, really?
That's unfortunate. I would. It was hard. It was a difficult watch.
Drunk pick of the week? Something you want the people to know about?
As you know, during the pick of the week segment last week, I was all kind of bummed out because I was running out of sports to watch for the summer and whatnot. But I'm jacked up again because Drunk's pick of the week is this fucking Shark Week, baby.
Woo!
Discovery Channel. And you know what's even funnier about that? National Geographic went one louder and also is doing Shark Week this week.
Oh, really?
So we have two channels.
There's multiple Shark Weeks?
Week on. Yes!
Yeah,
and it's funny too because they got their little like fake Hardwick show afterwards with the live Shark Night, and they fucking talk about what they talked about.
Shark Week is all Bear Grylls does Shark Week. Oh, Shaquille O'Neal does Shark Week.
Guy Fieri, Aaron Rodgers, Shark Week, Lindsey Vaughn, fucking they're all on this week.
Yeah, it's
Rob Gronkowski,
Ronda Rousey.
I'll pile on Shark Week and say, I guess I did see something I enjoyed very much this week. It's on Netflix. It's 47 Meters Down, starring Mandy Moore and some other broad, where they accidentally get their shark cage cut and drop to the bottom of the ocean floor and are stuck there trying to get out. But they can't swim out because they're surrounded by sharks. But they're too far down and they're running out of air.
Travis, do you know that that movie was like a straight to DVD, like a October Coast movie? And then the other shark movie came out, and they're like, oh, wait, this shark movie made a bunch of money. Maybe we should hold this.
Yeah, and then they brought it out because it was, I believe it was the director who, he also directed The Strangers.
Yeah.
I believe, or maybe the second Strangers. I can't recall which.
Yeah, but I mean, they had already put
them. It's the only reason I watched it.
They had already sent the DVD screeners out, and I mean, like planned it for DVD. And then that, what was the one? It was with January Jones. That one that came out.
Blake Lively, the one where she's stuck on the rock.
Yeah, and then that was a success, and then they were just like, oh, well, maybe we'll put
Charlie
it in theaters.
And the Chocolate Factory?
Yeah, and then they like they bailed on it for like 7 months and then put it in theaters, and it made a bunch of money.
It was actually the highest grossing independent movie of that year, 47 Meters Down.
Yeah.
Travis got to jump back in. Can I jump back in? Because that reminded me of a thing that's better than Succession that I wanted to recommend.
come on back.
Okay. I watched a movie on Netflix called Caliber. It's a Scottish thriller, and I thought it had a unique bent to the genre, and a scant, I think, 89 minutes or something, so not too long, but really enjoyable. Yeah.
Am I going to have to put the subtitles on for this? Because generally when I watch movies like that, I can't understand a word you're saying.
Oh, I didn't know we were rocking out.
I think this is Mike's pick of the week is this weird shit he does with his phone.
Matt, pick of the week? Something you want the people to know about?
Demi Lovato.
Oh, no, don't.
Overdosed on heroin.
That poor angel.
Oh, yeah?
Is she dead?
No.
No, she's in the hospital.
Oh.
Well, thoughts and prayers.
So yeah. That's your pick of the week is that?
Yep. Just wanted to send her a little TMP.
Oh. Okay.
We're all with you, Demi. Mike, you want to have a pick?
guys, be sure to go see Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
Oh,
what's the new one? Mission Impossible Fallout. We need a big week for this weekend.
Oh, also go see starting this weekend Teen Titans Go.
Yeah, but more importantly, Mission Possible Fallout, Travis.
We already got ours locked up, right?
We won, by the way.
We got fucking Incredibles too.
Yeah.
I said that before the thing happened. Whoever had that wins.
But if Mission Impossible Fallout,
somebody else had a Star Wars and a Marvel movie.
Yeah, not safe for water coolers. Jim, right here, the guy on the show.
When it started, it could have been close.
Right. Yeah, but he's been bitching the whole time. He thinks I rigged it, Trent.
You did, Mike.
He has a Star Wars movie and a Marvel movie, and he's still going to come in third. How the fuck does that happen? How does it happen?
Right.
But he thinks it's me and the Illuminati, Trent.
Especially because Ramblin' Rob, he got a 0-point movie, didn't he?
Yep. And he's still gonna beat Jim with a 0-point movie. It's pretty wild, right? I mean, like, he has a movie that scores 0 points in the fourth round. And
Jim, how does it feel to be drunk laughed at?
We quit anyway, so it doesn't matter. We don't care. See, now you won your game. You happy, Mike?
You happy?
Now you double win.
If Mission Impossible Fallout doesn't have a big week, phone calls
with Dan and Matt, chatting it up, loving then life.
Things
There's
won't
Jim.
Go
ha,
according
look at
to
that
plan.
Shithead. Fuck him for some reason, dick.
So that's my pick of the week, guys. Be sure to go see Mission Impossible Fallout. And hey, you have another weekend for The Equalizer too. If you missed that
there
one
go.
This past weekend, be sure to go see that so that I could play the game with my buddies.
We don't have to relegate anybody this time, do we? I mean, we can.
No, we do.
Okay,
we definitely do. It's more important now than ever.
Are you bringing in a fourth team next time so Matt can come back in?
Mm. Well, Matt could be the third team.
Oh, once I thought we kick you wanted out. To reach out to a new friend for the alternate team.
Jim, I don't have any friends.
Song Salad.
Yeah, Song Salad would like to come on.
There you go. Have you seen that the Leroy and Earl show's been calling you out on Twitter?
True.
You, because you sent out a tweet that said that your fans are called waterheads. And they call their fans shift heads. And so they thought that you stole calling your fans something heads.
So are our fans dickheads?
I think they called themselves that. I don't think we.
I don't think anyone's going to get this far in this episode. Yeah. So I'm going to just be straight up honest with you guys right now. I totally did do that.
You know, the cheese heads, Jim.
Yeah. I said, how do I capitalize on the popularity of the Leroy Girl show?
You got to get a beef going, Jim, with the.
That's awesome.
I love Toe Jam and Earl. Those guys are great.
They've been having a lot of phone sex ladies on. I think they've been having catfishes on the last guy. They're kind of catfishes in themselves, right? Because we've never actually talked to the guys. We talk to their characters.
Good stuff.
Guys, we'll be back next week. We appreciate all of you. You have a good night or a pleasant tomorrow, whatever it is you do. We'll see you next week.
Guns out, funds out.
'Cause hurt people just hurt people. They do it, they do every day. Yeah, hurt people just hurt people. Why are we used to the pain? Oh, how many times until we had enough? We just gotta find a way to love. My heart is broken just talking about this. Hurt people just hurt people. They do it, they do every day.
I felt all my lies, I know that I'd be broken. Take all these pills and quell fucked up emotions. Baby, you're so sick, why can't you just be open? You just be open, you just be open. Wish you one way to save you from my visions. Killing myself lately, that's been my mission. I'll explode like it's nuclear fission. Stuck on these visions, stuck on these visions.
Hurt people just hurt people. They do it, they do every day. Yeah, hurt people just hurt people. Why are we used to the pain? Oh.
But that helps keep me focused. Have a witness, it's chance I'm here unbroken. Girl, I'm too fucked up, you can't fix these problems. You'll never solve them, you'll never solve them. I think about you and it drives me crazy. Wish I could fix my mind, but it's too hazy. 20 years old, it's too young, you won't save me. Can't help me, baby, can't help me, baby.
People just hurt people. They do it, they do every day. Yeah, hurt people just hurt people. Why are we used to the pain? Oh, how many times until we had enough? We just gotta find a way to love. My heart is broken just talking about this. Hurt people just hurt people. They do it, they do every day.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
Guys, thank you for listening to this installment of the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. Join us live every Tuesday night at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com, and be sure to check out all the other great shows that station offers. You can download past episodes of our lengthy catalog or enjoy other premium content on our website, found at WFODshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WFODicks. Email us, mike@wfodicks.com, travis@wfodicks.com, or drunk@wfodicks.com. You can give us a call, every day, all the time, when we're live or when we're not, at 636-487-HAND. That's 636-487-4263. Give us any feedback you may have, comments, questions. It's there for you guys. Special thanks, as always, to our Patreon sponsors, Liquid Lozenge, Harry Balls on Ya, and Brian Kranz. If you'd like to be a Patreon sponsor, go to patreon.com/WFODix. We appreciate all of you. We'll see you back here next week.
Lots of
we coming back.
Stuff
what happened. Are we doing
yeah.
here?
Yeah,
it's going to be.
All right, are we gonna sing a song juicy. Or like a group juicy. Song?
You want all to?
Right. You want to?
Bye for now.
Yeah, I mean,
take good care of yourself. Bye.